are we rolling?
Yeah, we're rolling. Here's the thing.
I used to live my life a quarter mile at a time.
I love that.
But things change. I'm a father now.
He's a father now.
Is that what he said?
I think so.
Because it sounded to me like...
He's Stalloning a little.
Deeply.
Your daddy gave me this.
No, he is a father.
It's very special. It's for protection. From what's coming.
Which are giant CGI set pieces.
All right, Dom.
Dom. Islands.
No matter how fast you are.
There's a lot of cars in this one.
I am not too.
Yeah, well, it's a Fast and the Furious movie. You know where I'm going with that.
And mine.
John Cena? No, you're not saying it right. You have to say it.
John Cena! Like those old Sega commercials.
It's gonna be very exciting.
There's an assassin.
Cena!
Who is he?
He's John Cena! Dom!
Jacob is Dom's brother.
Oh, what?
Somebody, what?
It's more family.
They gave away the Empire of the Strikes Back reveal in the trailer.
Because who cares? It's a Fast movie.
Literally nobody. But that's the weird thing. I had a whole conversation today.
You're like blowing out the...
I'm sorry.
It's all red.
It all fits in me.
Yeah, no, it'll all be fine, I'm sure.
How long is this trailer?
I don't know why you're playing all of it at the top of the show.
I thought it was like a...
No, you thought it was like one of those like 30 seconds?
It's like a four-minute trailer.
Yeah, no, let's stop that. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Film Picks podcast. I'm your host.
It was four. I just looked at it. It's 4 minutes long. Yeah,
way too long.
What kind
really,
of trailer?
You really should have checked that.
I really.
Because that was.
It's a bacon.
That would have been a fun, like, 30-second intro. It became tedious.
Yeah, it's a bacon.
So, yeah,
it's a bacon.
This is.
I did not do my.
Film Picks podcast. I'm your host, Steve Skelton. I'm here with Todd Robert Anderson. And
hi, everybody.
And Todd mentioned, Steve Falk isn't available this time around.
He's in Mexico.
Well, but that's not. There were multiple scheduling issues.
Right. But most of it
is because he was on vacation.
He's on in Mexico. No, I think he's working.
Oh, yeah?
I think so.
I think it's a workcation.
Every time you go to Mexico... That's what it is. Whether you're on vacation or there for work, it's a workcation.
So we're doing a bacon episode, and that's where we just kind of focus in on one thing instead of all our regular segments and take it easy a little bit. So,
like, don't worry about structure
or preparedness or.
As exemplified by the 4 minute trailer, we had to shut off.
Yeah. So, as you could probably guess by that trailer, we're going to be talking about the Fast franchise, specifically the upcoming movie Fast 9. But before we get into that...
Best part about Fast 9, and I just want to say that. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt.
This is already... Well, you already dragged out the opening.
There's so much I've done to derail this podcast.
already. In the first minutes.
And I'm doing it again, but I have to... call attention to Doug Benson's joke about the 10th Fast and the Furious.
Okay.
And he's been saying for years, I just want them to just skip to the 10th one so it can be called Fast 10, Your Seatbelts.
Oh,
which is
wow.
The best dad joke
wow.
ever made.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah.
That
but we're on
is amazing.
Yeah.
So
we'll see what happens.
They're going to definitely make another one.
Well, of course they will, but will it be called Fast 10 Your Seatbelts?
Probably.
It should be.
Yeah, it should be, but...
Correctly, it would be.
That'll be up to the marketing department.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we get into the Fast stuff, I just wanted to check in and see, have you seen any other movies recently?
This is the worst question you could possibly ask.
On a movie podcast?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because... You know, full disclosure, I'm going through some serious stuff with my family.
Yeah.
And it's a sad time. So I was coming back from a hospital on Monday, and my wife said, "Hey, take me to a movie that's stupid and will make me stop thinking."
Okay.
And the best choice for us in our area was Blumhouse's Fantasy Island.
Oh, my God.
So that is the last movie I saw in the theater.
I forgot that that had been released.
And it's awesome.
Is it?
Like, again, like, understand where I'm in. I mean,
yeah,
I'm in a place of grief and confusion and, so this and sadness. Is
just a pure escapist.
It was pure escapism. Yeah. And that's Hillary, my wife, loves. I can't get her to watch dramas, Oscar movies. Mm-hmm. And she, like, doesn't want to come back from a day at school. She's a teacher.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to come back from a day at school and be challenged further. She generally wants
to relax.
Escapism.
And,
and never has that been more prescient and reasonable than right now where we're at. So I was like, and part of me was like, I haven't exercised in a week and I'm getting fat and I should have exercised. But no, I'm taking her to see a movie.
Yeah.
And timing wise, it just worked out that it was Fantasy Island. And I will tell you this, if you're in a place of grieving and you want to escape, probably as a white person, I can't say for sure, but it worked.
So is this fantasy is done more as a horror bent?
Yeah, I mean the structure is this, and spoiler alerts, deal with
There's
it.
There's an island.
Yeah, maybe fast forward 5 minutes if you're worried about Fantasy Island
spoilers.
Being ruined for you.
Yeah.
But you know whatever.
If that's if that really is a problem for you, you probably got the wrong podcast entirely. In general.
Yeah, just in general. So the first act is your Fantasy Island episode, perhaps the pilot, you know, because they rebooted Fantasy Island on TV a few years back.
They've rebooted it more than once.
Oh, has it been more than once?
It got rebooted years ago with Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah, no, I remember that one. Was there another one?
I thought that there was another one after that, just not too long ago, but maybe that was this movie that went into production that I was
saying. Maybe that's what it was. But the
usually about... I'm really up on my Fantasy Island news.
Yeah, but, I'm so surprised.
I really have really dropped the ball
dropped on this. The ball. Yeah, you fucked that up. I'm deeply sorry that you did, but it'll all shake out. But so the first
thank,
act
thank you for your understanding.
The first act of the very explicitly Blumhouse's Fantasy Island. Because that's the title of the movie.
Yeah, that's why it's a horror.
So you know you're getting into horror if it's Blumhouse's, but it's not Fantasy Island.
I mean, I don't hate the idea of rebooting Fantasy Island as a horror movie.
No, and the Malcolm... I like that idea. No, it's a good idea.
And the Malcolm McDowell one was
Malcolm
darker.
Was very dark. Yeah. So that's what this, I feel like, was riffing on. Oh, they failed, so we should fail again.
This didn't work before, so let's give it another go.
Let's give it another shot.
Why not?
Maybe
the rights were cheap.
They shouldn't have put a white guy in the lead, and they should have put the guy from Chips, who wasn't the white guy in the lead.
From Chip?
An Ant-Man.
Oh, I was like, Eric Estrada?
No, the movie.
Oh, okay. I'm blanking on his name.
Michael Peña.
Michael Peña, yeah. I like Michael
Peña. It's great. And by the way, Chips is not a bad movie. Okay, so don't at me. So I really like Chips. But I have a Dax Shepard thing. I like Dax Shepard movies.
Okay, back to Fantasy Island.
All right, back to Fantasy
Island. Let's keep a little bit of a modicum of focus.
I apologize. I'm grasping. I'm like running away from my own feelings. So the first act of that movie is literally Fantasy Island. It's exactly that. Like, within seconds, people arrive on the plane. Someone says the plane.
Oh, of course.
Mr.
Rourke?
Is it
Rourke?
Rourke?
Is it still Mr. Rourke?
Is it Rourke?
Rourke.
It's not O'Rourke.
No.
That would be like a...
No, he's not Irish.
Yeah, which is the problem. If it was Irish Fantasy Island, that'd be great. Because the fantasies would all be very reasonable. I just want a Guinness. Welcome to Fantasy Island. I just want socialized medicine.
Done.
Well, boom. Welcome to Fantasy Ireland.
Fantasy Ireland. There. That's
it. It's actually where you try to go to Fantasy Island, and they're like, no. Everything you
it's booked.
Here on Ireland. Unless you want good scotch. Then that's...
Fantasy Scotland.
It's Fantasy Scotland. It's just... it's so anyway. So you have the... And then the second act... I guess what the second act is, which is the movie... That's what they tell me. The second act is the movie. So the first act is...
Who tells you that?
I don't fucking
know. I mean, all the acts are the movie.
I don't know, Robert McKee, people like that?
Oh, they're like, oh, the real... You know,
people who make money in Hollywood as writers tell me that the second act is what matters. Well,
they're rich.
So the first act is Fantasy Island. The second act is you basically realizing, oh, this isn't Fantasy Island as I understood it. So there are...
This isn't your dad's Fantasy Island.
Yeah, there are zombie people that the island unearths. And puts into your fantasy, and they kill you.
Oh, that's a lousy fantasy.
Yeah, but
I want my money back.
Like the wonderful balance in the second act is you're introduced to a Michael Rooker character, not a zombie.
Oh, okay.
Survivalist, Fantasy Island survivalist, who's just trying to keep from getting killed by Rourke. Because Rourke knows he's there.
Oh, so he's like a... he showed up as a guest and they haven't been able to kill him forever?
Undercover private investigator, which is great. Like, he introduces himself like, I'm a private investigator. And immediately I thought, oh, you're Wings Hauser in that episode of Magnum P.I.
Of course you thought that.
Because that's who I am. Yeah. I'm like, I'm on board. Because one, Rooker is one of my favorites.
Love Rooker.
Can't get enough of Rooker.
You can never go wrong with Rooker.
And if Rooker's playing crazy,
yeah,
hell yeah.
That's a
trigger effect.
Yeah.
Jesus, it's the best. I don't want to call it a cameo. That's not fair. That like reduces.
No, it's like a.
It's not a celebrity cameo. It's a
full supporting role. No, it's more like a minor. It's like a surprise walk on or a like. Well, I don't know. I mean, I just made up that term. So it's not an actual
surprise
term.
Surprise walk on by a professional actor who's been hired.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. He's like
special appearance. Would that be it? Maybe.
Yes. To call him a bit player is to be belittling of his career.
Yeah.
But Michael Rooker as a person who people know his name.
Yeah.
Not everybody, but we
Yeah,
do.
But even if you don't know his name, like he's well known enough now because of the Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
That people when you go, oh, he was Yondu in Guardians, I'm like, oh yeah, I know that guy. Right. I saw him this other thing.
So is it who is supporting whose career when James Gunn hired Michael Rooker to be in Slither? I don't know, but his performance is brilliant. Mm-hmm. That's a brilliant movie written and directed by James Gunn. It's neither here nor there. But my main point is it was awesome to see him, but he was not a zombie. But like right after Michael Rooker kind of disappears from the movie for reasons I won't spoil.
Right.
There's a guy in a mask shooting one of the main characters. Like, he shoots a main character's brother. And you're like, fuck, no, not that guy. That's the guy from Party Down. I love that guy. So that happens. I'm sorry. I said spoiler alert, right? So that happens. So,
yeah, if you know Party Down, then you see this guy, then something's been spoiled in this movie for you.
The whole time, my wife and I have seen the series Party Down 4 times in its entirety. And we showed it to my son not too long ago, and both of them were looking at this guy going, how do I know him? The whole movie. And I immediately knew it was the guy from Party Down. But good to see that guy working. But anyway... So it was great to see Michael Rooker, but then, like, after he disappears from the movie, you're like, oh. Because for me, personally, like, that was like, oh, this is anchoring me to this garbage movie. I'm like, oh, this awesome actor's in it. And the Party Down guy, they're good actors in this movie. And Michael Pena's great, obviously. But we get into the second act after, like, in the midst of the second act, Michael Rooker's gone. I'm like, oh no, who am I gonna latch on to? And there's a guy murdering people ad nauseum.
So just you latched on to that guy.
Shoot, no, I was like, he's a horrible monster. Why does he keep shooting everybody? And then he, like, starts talking to one of the main characters that he's got as a hostage. And the guy's like, why are you doing this? And he's like, we need to talk. And he's had a mask on the whole time. He pulls, it's like the purge.
Oh, okay, he's got like a purgy mask. Yeah.
So he pulls off his purgy mask. It's like, we need to talk. And it's Kim Coates.
What?
And I was like, fuck me.
See,
this is great.
You're selling me on this movie. because it's got a lot of great character actors that seems like they're probably just having a lot of fun. Kind of a, you know, it's a genre B picture.
Sure, sure. So, no, I totally agree with you. I think the only mistake they made, and I think they shot this one, and it's probably a matter of minutes in difference, but they went with PG-13
instead of R. Yeah.
And if this had been an R-rated movie, I would have loved it. I kind of loved it anyway, but I'm not sure if that's the emotional place I'm in, or if it's that it was actually
It was just like, for this right, this moment, this was the right movie.
The perfect movie, yeah. I don't know. And all that said, I'm watching it objectively on a certain level, and it's bad. It's not a good movie. I'm not saying anyone should go run out to see Fantasy Island, but...
But if you're a fan of, like, you know, like, B-horror... It's fun. From the Blumhouse... stacking up in the Blumhouse catalog, where does that fall?
Blumhouse?
Right, because Blumhouse has its own pedigree. People, you know, Blumhouse or, you know...
Well, there's our Blumhouse and there's PG-13 Blumhouse. So, I would say...
Where does it fit in there for, you know, if you got... There's Blumhouse.
I would say PG-13 Blumhouse, it's at the top.
It is one of the better PG-13
It's one of the most fun PG-13 Blumhouse. So movies.
It's not for me. It's fun. It's not great, but it's fun.
But again, I'm grieving. I'm an emotional mess. So maybe don't go into seeing...
You know what I saw?
What?
I watched last week. That is a movie that came out last year. It's a Swedish, very depressing science fiction movie called Aniara.
Yeah, I've not seen that.
And it's about... The funny thing is it has exactly the same premise as that... HBO science fiction comedy Avenue 5.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The Hugh Laurie thing?
Yeah. And the Iannucci.
I've not watched the guy
that created The Thick of It, which is my favorite show of all time.
The Thick of It's great. I don't have any interest in that show.
I have watched Avenue 5, and I say this with, again, because The Thick of It is probably my favorite show of all time.
Right.
I'm not on board with Avenue 5.
Oh, wow.
But...
That's a big deal.
Well, but it's... I admire the swing because, look, science fiction comedy is probably the highest degree of difficulty.
Sure.
I mean, just think about, what's a great science fiction comedy?
Galaxy Quest.
So, anything else come to mind?
Yes.
What?
Ice
Pirates.
For me, yes.
Yeah.
That's a movie I would not say you should watch.
It's not at the level of Galaxy Quest.
But what's the Dan Bannon, Don Bannon, John Carpenter movie?
Oh, Dark Star.
Yeah. That's a fucking funny movie.
Yeah.
That's a very funny
movie. But it's like, you know, there's very few.
No.
Because there's something about... Because I think the problem is because you have to... You have to world build while also telling jokes about that world.
Yeah, that's
true. And it's really hard to do that at the same time.
Unless you're doing a straight up Spaceballs parody, which is not great.
Right. But Spaceballs is just not great. That's why. And that's why something like a Star Trek IV with the whales.
Oh yeah, it
works.
Great. Oh, that's a sci-fi comedy.
Yeah,
for sure.
but it works because it was very smartly constructed because
they
weren't in the future doing silly stuff. They went back in time to the present.
When was the last time dealing with the present? I'm just curious, just to get an idea. When was the last time you watched Dark Star?
It's been a while.
Try it again. It's crazy because it's a G-rated movie.
Yeah.
There's nothing offensive about it.
Yeah.
But it's actually really funny. And it takes a minute. It's not out of the gate funny. It's not like making jokes. Because
it's an old school. Yeah. Like was started as a student film.
It started as a short, but there's something about it, the way it progresses, and it becomes. I mean, it's a parody of 2001 ultimately.
Yeah.
But the way it progresses and gets into its parody of that is actually really funny. I mean, it's weird. Yeah. It's so low budge. And you know from the get-go, this is low budge. But these guys are 100% doing their weird narrative. And it's actually engaging as a narrative. You want to know what happens next.
I think that's also kind of what works. Because I think that works against Avenue 5 to a certain degree. Because it's clearly very high budget.
Uh-huh.
It's very expensive looking.
Oh, okay.
And... That's probably not the best thing to do.
I think
it actually works against sci-fi comedy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, making it look a little more low-budge, basic cable makes jokes land better, mm-hmm. I think, with sci-fi. But again, it's like a high degree of difficulty in terms of comedies, the highest. So
for sure.
And you know, I don't think that...
Horror comedy's probably on level with the sci-fi comedy.
I think sci-fi is harder because, again, the horror comedy world building is still usually based in the real world. So you don't have to explain as much. A sci-fi.
Has a supernatural element.
Yeah, but
I see.
Supernatural doesn't require as much of an explanation. It's just like, oh, there's a ghost killing us. Okay,
I get that's all you need. I get you.
But sci-fi, you're like, well, now the spaceship does this.
Because there's been a lot more horror comedy than sci-fi comedy, but. I mean,
this is possibly a whole other podcast topic.
Yeah, yeah. Why are we talking about this?
Genre comedy would be a good podcast topic.
It's a really good topic.
Yeah, though. We should. Yeah, let's put a pin in that.
Put a pin in that.
Anyway, Aniara, the Swedish film, uses the same basic concept, which is it's a spaceship that is taking people from Earth because Earth is suffering its climate change disaster.
Oh, they're taking them to Elysium.
Well, no, they're taking them to Mars, but.
With Arnold Schwarzenegger and all them? The mutants and the air problem? Is Ronnie Cox running Mars?
We don't know because the spaceship is... It's basically like this gigantic cruise ship. It's got like malls and all kinds of shit on it.
Like so Wall-E?
It's like a Wall-E cruise ship. And it gets hit by space debris and thrown off course. And so they're like, oh yeah, we're not going to get to Mars we're supposed to get there in like 4 months. It's going to take us like 2 years to get there. And everyone starts freaking out. But that's actually a lie. It's like, oh, we're way off course and we can't ever get back. So we're just going to be leaving the solar system.
Oh, Jesus.
And so the movie follows the progression. It goes like day one, week one, year one. Year 5, year 10, year 25.
Well, that's a fun idea.
And it's a Swedish movie, so it's super depressing. Of course.
Like their romantic comedy what's it called? Shit. The Will Ferrell movie's out right now. That's
what Will Ferrell movie?
Downhill?
That's a Swedish movie?
No. It's a remake of a Swedish movie called Force Majeure. I remember seeing... Okay. This is so tangential. We're supposed to be talking about Fast and the Furious.
We haven't even gotten to that
yet. But
there's not much to say, so who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Yeah. So there was... Welcome to the bacon.
Welcome to the bacon. Like, no,
we're 23 minutes into the bacon.
No one's listening to this anymore.
No, nobody listens to anything. Why do we do this? Why not?
We're killing time.
Yeah. Hey.
Killing time.
This is such a great distraction. Thank you for coming over. I love talking to you. I always love talking to you. And you tell me when I'm a dumb shit. You do.
A lot.
This is friendship.
This is on mic friendship talk.
And you always tell me when I'm a dumb shit. And I'm usually, like, I would say 99% of the time you've told me I'm a dumb shit, I walk away and going, shit, I was so dumb. 1% of the time I go, I had a point on top.
I should really double down on that.
That's what
he's
I need
wrong,
to latch.
And I'm doubling.
That's
down.
What I need to latch on to because I need to prove to him that I'm right. That's how friendship works, right? So anyway, force majeure or whatever it is.
Sure, that sounds right.
So there was like a viral video that people were putting out in the States like it was a real thing.
Oh, the ski. The
avalanche.
The avalanche.
It's a family watching a supposedly controlled
avalanche. Yeah.
And the dad's continually telling him, don't worry. We're okay. And they're getting runs away scared. From them. Yeah. And then the avalanche hits them. Yeah. And he literally pushes his own child out of the way to propel himself forward.
It's a ripoff of that Seinfeld episode where George Costanza pushes the old lady out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
In the fire alarm.
Yeah, exactly. Or a ripoff of the story I told publicly about how I've done. And we've all made these mistakes. In a moment of panic,
we've all abandoned our loved ones to their doom at some point or another.
We have to.
it's just human nature.
That's what's amazing about human nature is, in my own personal experience, I've been both that douchebag, and I've been abandoned by the douchebag, but I've also been a guy who's gone way too far helping.
I know you've gone way too far helping people.
I've helped you so many times.
That's not what I'm thinking of.
I'm not that bad.
No.
I'm okay, but I know what you're saying.
I'm just thinking of a specific time I warned you several times, this is going too far.
This is going too far. But anyway, so, yeah, you're right. Comedically speaking, you're right. But also...
Also, in retrospect, I'm 100% right in this one particular instance.
You've never... Okay, if we're going to blow smoke right now on Mike, I would say to you that you, Steve Skelton, mm-hmm. as a white man...
Yeah. So far, you're 100% right.
I've been your white man friend, like, for a long time, since your 20s.
Yeah.
You've never not been woke, even though woke wasn't a thing, but you've always been the first person to point out. You didn't always point out or punch me. We shouldn't have done certain jokes. But that was the
90s. Well, yeah, no, yeah.
That was the 90s. It was different.
Thank God that was before YouTube.
But you always said as we were doing it, I don't know about this. You always...
That is true.
You were always... I'm not 100% behind this.
But then I did it anyway.
No. No.
Like, I went along with it.
That's the power of... Yeah. That's the power of friendship and me lording it over you, and I was wrong.
No, but it's part of the... That's also part of the... You know, if you're dealing with, like, we're talking specifically about sketch comedy group stuff... right now. But it's like, you know, when you're with a group, you have to yes and the group.
Yeah, yeah, you do.
And sometimes you're yes anding stuff that's terribly wrong.
Right, right. And you were always there to point out the stuff that was... Like, we never... We did horrible things. We made horrible jokes.
No, I mean there's a few jokes that say. I mean I think overall,
because I've been capturing a lot of this from VHS lately, and I've seen it, and I'm like, oh yeah, Skelton was entirely. Oh Jesus, why didn't I listen to Skelton? It would have been so easy to just not do that. But I was content. You know, and like on stage, I wanted to fill an hour. That was, and it wasn't a thing I needed to do.
Yeah.
It was a thing that I put on myself. So in an hour of jokes.
No, and that you get the blinders go on.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, well, this is okay.
And someone suggests this joke and it's questionable, but there's legs on it as far as a comedy, you know, as far as a comedy journey in the joke. So I was like, oh, let's do it. And you would be like, I don't think we should do that. We're like, no. There's literally nothing else right now. We have this 5 minutes has to be filled with this racist. Sorry. I shouldn't be saying this on mic, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, but I think it's the but what makes it interesting to talk about now, that, like, it would be horrible if now, 20 years later, we were both like, hey, let's look at our old videotapes of some of these old sketches that we did. They're all perfectly hilarious still. Like,
well, not, if there like, not even...
If there weren't, yeah. I think...
Forget the politically incorrect stuff. Sometimes the jokes are just bad.
Yeah.
Watch the old stuff and
it's, I don't worry. I care less about the jokes that just don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And more about the why did we do that?
Yeah. There was that.
Because it's like, look, it's like learning anything, mm-hmm, and trying to get good at anything, you're going to fail. So I don't worry about it. I don't worry about, jokes in my 20s that didn't land.
Sure.
You still write jokes, 20 years later that don't land. But, theoretically, if you've been doing it long enough, then, you write less jokes that don't land.
Right, right.
Your percentage increases, right, is what you're trying to do.
And I would say, arguably, part of that is realizing, oh, this is not appropriate.
Yeah.
And it's punching down.
Yeah, it is punching, punching down.
And there's no two ways about it. I mean, our group did have women in it, but they were a minority, for sure. And it was mostly a white guy group.
It was all,
And it was the 90s, and there was a weird thing about, for white guys, pushing back against the establishment as well. But we did it from the realm of the establishment.
I didn't really feel like we did that. We were doing it so much. It was just... A lot of the missteps and bad jokes and offensive things that, we may have said in the 90s and, in doing those sketch stuff, that was more, I think, out of ignorance than anything else.
Oh, for sure.
Not paying attention.
And
as you grow up, in theory, you learn to pay attention better.
Oh, for sure. All I was saying about the establishment is I felt like at the time, as a young person, that I was pushing back against it by making fun of the stuff that we made fun of movies.
Yeah.
Very specifically. Yeah. And people still don't do that within the realm of the industry. There's very little of... There's not a best damn movie show ever where there's a panel of people just talking honestly about the movies that are coming out that week, which is what I was trying to do with the Film Pigs web series, what I've always been trying to do with the Film Pigs on a certain level. But what I didn't realize then is the place of privilege I was coming from.
Yeah.
Because it felt to me like I was fighting because we weren't making money. We were doing shows at midnight in arbitrary...
Yeah, but we're also dummies in our 20s.
So. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's not... All I'm saying is I felt like I was pushing back against the man.
Yeah.
When I was not.
When the man wasn't even aware you existed.
The man
did not care and was just like, who?
That's what I'm saying, So as an artist, artist... person as an entity with emotions, I felt like I was fighting. I was punching.
Well, but I think that's
I thought I was punching up, but we were making jokes that were punching down at the same time.
Well, I think that's I think that's something that we did better when we did. And again, we're like way off the topic.
Oh, my wife's home.
Uh-oh.
I hear the garage.
Oh, the garage door.
She'll be in a minute.
But, we're something that we did a little bit better when we were doing the web show was, whatever we were making fun of, we also ultimately, at the end, most of the time, I think, we didn't quite always do it right.
No, sure.
But most of the time we would turn it around back on ourselves and, try and at least make the point. It's like, we're the dummies.
Yeah.
And not, not try and leave the point of, this is whoever we're making fun of or whatever we're making fun of is stupid and wrong and dumb. We turn around somewhere where it's just like, at the end of the day, though, even making a bad movie is incredibly difficult to do. And,
sure.
And almost an impossibility
yeah.
in terms of actually getting all the pieces together. So yeah. It's kind of a miracle any movie gets made. But still, there's plenty to have fun with.
And I would say that, like, on a certain level, the Geek Nation web series, Film Pigs web series show, had a... we did have a certain amount of white privilege in that we were given that.
Well, in that we were three white men who were privileged?
Well, yeah, we're privileged white men.
It was triple privilege.
Yeah, it's triple privilege. But it was fun in what we were doing on that show, challenging ourselves with that.
But that's my point. It's like the point. I don't think we quite always nailed it, but because we never quite articulated it in terms of behind the scenes of what we were doing, because we were just trying to do sketches every week.
Yeah, and we weren't challenged.
Yeah, we weren't really sit down. Hey, what are we trying to do? But I think what kind of organically kind of worked out, and the stuff that worked the best was the stuff that ultimately came back. Where we always presented ourselves as ultimately idiots.
Right, sure. Which is the only way to go.
Yeah. But it's, again, because there's a certain degree of, even if you're punching up, making fun of movies that have been made, it's still a little bit like, yeah, but they're impossible to make, so...
Yeah. And I'm not...
What are you really making fun of?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
You're making fun of the circumstances weren't ideal and perfect. And you don't know how a good example is Stephen DeKnight created Spartacus.
I love Spartacus.
And he did the Pacific Rim sequel.
Pacific Rim Uprising.
Yeah, he was he directed that. That was his first
starring.
That was his first feature.
Yeah, it's just, and casting is a problem with that movie.
Well, but it's kind of interesting because I actually really enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun
robot movie. Scott Eastwood is terrible.
Yeah, but the thing
Scott is, Eastwood, I'm saying this on mic publicly.
Wow, you're taking a bold stance.
Scott Eastwood is terrible.
But what's interesting is if you follow DeKnight's Twitter feed, which I recommend
in that movie,
because he's a really interesting guy. And is very kind of open and responsive to people that ask him questions. And around the Pacific Rim Uprising time, he was very honest about, like, oh, yeah. Because a lot of people are like, well, why did you do this? How come this didn't? A lot of people were very indignant fans about how dare you do this? And he's like, look, there's a, my initial script was 100% different.
Pacific Rim from what fans?
No, I'm serious. I'm deadly
serious.
There's
like a thing. That's a thing?
No, there's some very hardcore fans. There's very hardcore fans for anything.
It's so stupid.
But
own wife that much.
But he was very, very responsive to these people to say, look, this is what I did. These are the choices I made. Some of them weren't ideal, and some of them, because it was my first time as a feature director.
Right.
I don't have 100% control over the movie. I'm beholden to the studio that's producing it.
Sure.
And he's pretty interesting about, like, breaking down a lot of stuff.
The reality.
And also, like you pointed out, I was like, yeah, when I started the movie, I think Charlie Hunnam was still attached.
Oh.
And then he left the project because he got a pet project or something. His went. So he had to rewrite the whole script to account for his character no longer being the main character from the first movie.
Which raises a larger question. Yeah. Larger question. Why would Charlie Hunnam leave anything?
Well, because at the time he was still riding high off of Sons of Anarchy cred, and he had like a pet project that got funded, that's why
what is it called when your eyes are bigger than your stomach? That's what it is.
Anyway, so
I love Charlie Hunnam. I'm not
sure you do. I know you always talk about him.
I love. I'm constantly championing his Papillon remake.
So that's what it was. That's why he left the Pacific Rim movie.
Fucking idiot. Why? What? You're a fucking idiot, Charlie Hunnam. Jesus.
Okay.
Christ.
So Fast 9. which is the subject of this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Let's just hit this quick and easy. My concern was after the lackadaisical Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah.
Is Fast 9 going to deliver? And then I saw the trailer.
Yeah.
And I went, of course it is.
Yeah, it really is. That trailer, and we played part of
way too much of it.
Part, and it's terrible on audio because it's a visual thing. But I totally agree with you. It almost felt like they were saying, forget Hobbs and Shaw.
Don't worry about that.
Remember Fast and the Furious.
Hobbs and Shaw, it was a lark. Don't worry about it.
He made a terrible mistake.
But that's also because of, like, what's interesting about the whole franchise is what didn't work about Hobbs and Shaw, mm-hmm. which is...
Oh, sorry.
There's the whole...
Okay. Hillary's coming in with her...
Thank you. Hey, guys.
Hi, welcome home.
But what didn't work about Hobbs and Shaw was the sim, because it had all the ingredients. You know, it had, you know, the bantery bro dudes.
I have my thing it had
the fun villain, it had the ridiculous over the topness. But what it was lacking was it didn't have a memorable set piece that I can remember. It also didn't have the key ingredient, which the Fast franchise has been hammering home since day one, which is what makes people roll their eyes, but it's what makes the franchise work, which is the whole theme of family.
But it had that.
It really didn't,
though. No, but it did.
It did, but it didn't have it in the way that the Fast franchise had it.
Hear me out for a second. Here's my problem with Hobbs and Shaw. It's very simple. Fast and the Furious is a franchise built within a reality that we're supposed to relate to. So there's no supernatural bullshit in the Fast and the Furious franchise, even when they do supernatural bullshit. It's not purported as there's this thing or that thing.
Hobbs and Shaw had like the superhero man stuff.
Idris Elba is a super soldier.
Yeah. And that's a good point.
That's what fucked up that movie.
It's because the Fast franchise can get away with, if it's something to do with a car,
yeah,
anything goes.
Yeah, why not just do that?
But if it's, you can't make a person into a supercar.
Right. And that's what they did. And that's what it hinged
on. But I do think, even though, yeah, they had the family element, but it didn't have the...
Because they went back to Hawaii.
It didn't have the warmth as much.
No, it didn't. But it's because it wasn't part of the other thing until
they went to Hawaii, until they got to Act 3. But the problem is the movies need that warmth from Act 1.
Right. That's true. And also, they need to be an action movie from Act 1.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different kinds of action movies, and the Fast and the Furious action movies are vehicular.
Yeah.
That's what they are. They're about cars crashing into each other.
Yeah.
They're gone in 60 seconds.
Yeah.
They're the vanishing point.
Yeah, no, the set pieces movies have to be vehicle oriented, not punch fighting oriented.
Right.
And the set and Shaw, pieces were all punch fighties.
It was all punch fight.
Because they thought they could do a whole movie that was like the Jason Statham with the baby sequence.
Oh, right, sure.
Which is a great sequence, but it's not the set piece.
No, it's not.
So,
yeah.
So, unlike Fast 9, which has Vin Diesel driving a car straight into a Tarzan swing.
Well, and also, and tell me if I'm wrong, but they gave The Rock the Hobbs and Shaw thing.
Yeah.
So they could remove The Rock from
Fast 9.
And the Furious. Because Vin Diesel hates The Rock.
Well, that's also what's kind of fun about the Fast and Furious movies is this like pointless animosity between these two middle-aged muscle dudes. Like,
well, yeah, that's hilarious.
They're both millionaires. Like,
but, yeah, like, why are we fighting? But also, but it's probably good. Like, I'm not there. I've seen the trailers for Bloodshot. And I will go see the movie Bloodshot.
Oh, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, I know someone who's going to see this movie.
Todd.
And his name is Todd.
But the reason I'll see that movie is mostly because my kid saw Vin Diesel in a PG-13 superhero movie and was like, yeah, I'm on board. I'm not on board with PG-13 Vin Diesel except in Fast and Furious. I don't want anything to do with a lame Vin Diesel. I love Pitch Black.
Yeah.
I don't like Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah. I'm kind of okay like Chronicles of Riddick because it's so bananas. Like,
it's Fast and the Furious.
It's off, but it's not even fast. It's like just so bananas. Even like abandoning a lot of what Chronicles of Riddick, like it explains so much for no reason.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, tonally, it really is a Fast and the Furious sci-fi movie. That's all I'm saying.
Also, Fast 9, I'm super excited for it because my favorite part of the trailer was, while I was watching it, the car Tarzan swinging.
Mm-hmm.
Until the kicker at the end of just Han showing up. Like, oh, wait, he was dead. Wait.
But who cares?
And it's just, exactly. They're just like, they're going to make up some ludicrous reason dragged him out of the car and secreted him away.
This is what I'm saying.
Exactly like Michelle Rodriguez.
Exactly. This is what I'm saying about the Fast and Furious franchise. I normally don't like it when people play, to coin a phrase, fast and loose with people dying.
Yeah.
And they just come back alive all
the
time.
But this is fun.
But Fast and the Furious, unlike Hobbs and Shaw, had a supernatural element, and that fucking kills it. Like, once it's superheroes, you kill it.
But convoluted explanation, fine.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, because this is also what makes this franchise work so well, is that it follows the soap opera model.
Sure, it's melodrama.
Right? It's melodrama. Yeah. It's melodrama soap opera with characters who have personal connections. And that's why it works. And then they just add in, like, ludicrous car chases.
Yes. That's totally
true. And
it's
ultimately why I think it works, like, why it's such a huge success.
Well, and it...
Because that appeals to everybody.
All right, hear me out on this argument. So the Fast and the Furious franchise, as an action genre franchise, kind of harkens back to the 80s. Because it's excessive.
Yeah.
At every turn.
Yeah.
And you look back at the great 80s action movies that everybody talks about. Commando, Terminator 2.
So for all Schwarzeneggers.
All the Schwarzeneggers, all the Stallones, all the Norrises, all even fucking all the Bronsons.
Yeah.
They're ludicrous.
Yeah.
But none of them are quote unquote superheroes. They're everyman.
Yeah. But they were ludicrous in a world that was also like ludicrously racist.
Yeah, that's a...
That was the 80s staple, 70s and 80s staple. And what makes Fast and the Furious work is it's just ludicrous.
Yeah, it removes the racism. We're a family, so it's crazy.
And it's also not just real family, but also chosen family.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and that's great.
And so I think that's why Fast 9 is going to be a delight, and I cannot wait to see it. And I think we should probably mercifully stop.
Oh, because people are got to be aggravated at this point.
I mean, if anybody's still listening, they're at this point, they're like, all right, let's wrap it up.
Yeah, and they're upset, probably angry. Yeah.
So let's wrap it up.
All right.
So I think Fast Furious 9 is going to be fantastic. Fantasy Island Blumhouse is... somewhere in there, near the top of the PG-13 Blumhouse.
For Todd, that I'm in. I mean, it's not fair.
Aniara is depressing and Swedish.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's all I got. What do you have left?
Final
word?
I wish Will Ferrell would choose better.
Okay. I mean, I don't think he's gonna care, but...
No, I want to see Downhill. I know it's bad and it's not funny, and that's what all the critics
say. I'd like to
see
another Elf before another Downhill.
Yeah, not an Elf. I love Elf. I'm not saying I don't want to hold him to that kind of bar, but just like a
Step Brothers.
Yeah. old school. I don't fucking
know. All right.
So. I like Will Ferrell.
All right.
Did you see the things he did in the parades?
This podcast is finished.